Have you had your soup today?
And the cold, crisp taste of Coke is so satisfying, it keeps me from eating something else that might really add those pounds.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to another episode of Sheologians. We're here to put the Z in zealot today because we're talking about third wave feminism, and I don't even know what pronoun to use anymore.
Right.
Welcome to the third wave. So, okay, the last 2 weeks, obviously, you guys know we've been talking about feminism. We discussed the first wave 2 weeks ago, the second wave last week, so obviously we're going to discuss the third wave today. Most people would say we're in the third wave. Mm-hmm. I know there's a small section out there that would say we're beginning to ride, crash right onto shore of the fourth, but I don't know if that's actually...
We're about to get sandy, y'all.
It's been sandy for a while, so actually...
Sand gets everywhere.
Right. So actually, in preparation to discuss the third wave of feminism today, I feel like Joy and I purposely did not try to have a...
It's too all over the place,
so we're going to be a little all over the place, because honestly...
You know, as all over the place as it is, and as confusing as it is,
yeah,
I'm not confused.
No, I'm not confused.
About how I feel about my co-host, Summer.
Oh, right.
Who is as beautiful.
Oh.
And I'm making this up right now, because I didn't write it down. As... sunny and sour as a lemon.
A lemon.
Which is yellow and right. Your favorite color.
Well, since I've been studying feminism for a while now, and particularly very intensely the last several weeks, I've decided that one of the best things I can do for you is not compliment you, because I feel like I'd be subjugating you to my
You'd
opinion.
You'd be setting standards that I maybe couldn't live up to.
Right. And I don't want to take part in like the male gaze and look mm-hmm. at you in a way that might subordinate you to my opinion. So I like you however you are, Joy Tempe. And you're welcome.
Thank you.
So we purposefully did not.
I feel like your welcome was a little too aggressive.
It was.
But
I don't like the way you said that, you. Karen. That was a La La Land reference. No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
It was.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, it's hard. Third wave feminism is hard to define. So with the first, we could, you know, very clearly look back at history. And obviously, we're talking about feminism in America. We can very clearly look back and say, well, this is what they were fighting for. It was the temperance movement and wanting women to vote, wanting to the prohibition of alcohol, which can't be untied. And then the second wave of feminism obviously was about, quote, reproductive rights, the right to essentially divorce sex from procreation. Mm-hmm. And
it was a lot about the search for identity,
right.
The identity of woman.
Right.
And then towards the end of the second wave, you kind of saw women applying, like they thought, oh, well, you know, I'm looking for my identity. I think maybe I found it. I'm going to apply that. I'm going to start doing things to find
right.
my identity.
Right.
And really they used men
right.
as the role model to find their identity.
Right.
They were like, we're going to start doing things that men do
right.
to see if maybe we can find our identity like they did, which newsflash, they can't find their identity without God either. So
right.
Anyway.
Right. I just want to say before we get too deep into this that we are going to be discussing the third wave of feminism, and it is my feeling that a lot of the third wave of feminism, it does have to do with gender, sexuality, homosexuality. So I know a lot of our listeners listen with their kids. This might be a suitcase that you don't want them to pick up yet. So I just wanted to put that
right.
out there for you guys.
Yeah.
Because honestly, the third wave of feminism, this culture that we're living in right now, it's pretty vile. If
right.
you,
yeah.
you know, a lot of people one of the big things I hear people say to me who aren't appreciating our show is, well, feminism is just the idea that women are equal to men. And the whole thing that we're doing here is proving that that's not actually what feminism is. I understand if you go online and you look up feminism, it's just it'll say something like it's the belief that men and women should have equal rights and opportunities and all of these things. And that's really not what it's become. So
right.
It's so closely tied to these days, just things that are completely vulgar. If you go hang out at the women's study section of a bookstore, the things that you're going to see there are vulgar. You're going to see pictures of body parts. You're going to see books, you know, titled things that I don't really feel comfortable saying.
In things on the front of a book. Right. You won't even have to open the book to see anything shocking, essentially.
Right. And I actually, I looked up like what feminist, I wanted to find like a feminist clothing website, and I found one. And the funny thing is at the top it says, what is feminism? A feminist is anyone who recognizes the equality and full humanity of women and men. And then you scroll down and all these t-shirts are like body parts, sayings like fries before guys. There's a whole section on women ruling the world. This is not equality. Right. They don't view men. This view that's being put out here is not that women and men are equal. It's this total just like woman power dominating men. We don't need you kind of idea.
Before you go there, we understand that these shirts, fries before guys, is not the manifesto of feminism. We understand that.
Right.
But at the same time, like, what is your manifesto? Okay, moving on.
Right. What is your manifesto? Right. And can you see?
Especially, that would be my question to the third wave. And so that's why this is such a crazy confusion. Because the third wave, and here's what I think. So I mentioned earlier that towards the end of the second wave, we saw women leaving the home. They felt more liberated. They were seeking their identity. And I'm sure that it was validating and it was working for a lot of people, as new idols generally work when they are new.
Right.
And we haven't realized that they are counterfeit yet. But so what we see is all, you know, there were feminism was generally geared towards... It was the housewife.
Right.
It was
liberating her.
It was towards women. And for most women for a very long time were in the home. And so in the third wave, we see women have left the home. Women are all kinds of things. They work. Some of them are moms. Some of them will never be moms. Some of them are married but are not moms. Some of them will never be married. You see all these different kinds of people, and so you see all these different sections of feminism. And so what you kind of start to see is feminism becoming less about women and more about marginalized oppressed groups. Whatever, minorities, marginalized, oppressed, whatever you want to call it.
They call it intersectional feminism. And that's kind of the new cool thing that's happening now.
So it's expanded to, it includes sexual groups, LGBTQ. It includes racial groups.
It basically, anybody, they feel like they have multiple marginalized identities. So I remember one time.
So you may even be, you are like super marginalized if you find yourself LGBTQ, interracial minority, and a marginalized gender.
So you have all these things piling on to each other. And what's interesting was actually the whole concept of a safe space was originally born when a group of, and I don't remember what decade it was, so please forgive me, but I want to say it's around the 80s or the 90s, this group of African-American women were fed up with the women's movement. They felt like it only attended to really like upper middle class women. And so they wanted to create a, quote, safe space. Where they could just talk to each other and speak their minds because they were another marginalized identity. And now, you know, the safe space has moved to college campuses, and in a sense it has been appropriated to, again, these upper middle class white feminists that you see at Brown University, and they need a safe space to go. They need coloring books and videos of puppies.
Therapy dogs.
Therapy dogs, when someone might, you know, come and attempt to subjugate them by discussing men or something. So and a lot of what's happening within feminism now is happening on college campuses. You can't really remove the college culture from what's happening on college campuses. You have this whole concept of these cry bullies who play the victims and the victimizers, and which is meaning that they do to other people what they claim is being done to them, and they objectify and demonize entire groups of people based on their feelings.
Right.
And the whole concept of, you know, basically, it seems like their message is that men are predators instead of there are predators among men, which is completely inaccurate. And so, I mean, I do want to talk about the college rape statistic, because it's one of those feminist myths that...
Well, let's talk about, because you did mention, you talked about, especially in the college campus... Let's use an example that you talked about earlier when we were not recording. We talked about the curfew.
Oh, right.
So the curfew that was set on women on college campuses. So,
right. In the beginning of the 60s. And Camille Paglia talks about this. And she is a lesbian atheist who basically crusades trying to... I don't know if she would say she wanna recapture feminism, but I love that she is a lesbian atheist who is, in a way, committed to truth. And she would say that atheism is
its
own religion.
Exist. They I do see exist. It all over the place.
Right. And so she was talking about when she went to college in the 60s, women had to sign into their dorm room by 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. And this was to protect them. But the men had free reign. The men didn't have to do this. And so the women were like, well, this isn't fair. We want to be able to do what the men can do. And basically the colleges said, no, we're trying to protect you. We're an authority figure in your life, and we want to keep you safe.
Right.
And basically the women in the 60s said, no, forget you.
Right.
We don't want that. We want to be able to put ourselves in danger like the men
if we
can.
Want to.
If we want
whether
to.
It's necessary or unnecessary. There was a movement and they stopped this curfew. And then women and men could stay out whenever they wanted.
What do you think women
wanted?
And men are doing at night? Getting drunk.
Right.
It's the whole college campus life.
Right. So whether we personally think the curfew was necessary or unnecessary doesn't matter. But what is the agenda now?
Right. Well, now they want the authority back in their lives to protect them. And they're saying someone needs to come protect us.
But now they want men subjugated.
They want men's.
They want men to shut their mouths. No catcalling. Don't even think. Don't tell me to smile. Don't ask my name.
Yes.
Don't ask for my phone number.
Right.
Don't you dare even look at me. Like.
Right. What well, you wanted out with them. You wanted to run with them. But now that you are, you're angry about it. Do you know there are places where catcalling is actually considered a hate crime now?
Right.
And this is because of the feminist movement.
Well, it's considered violence. Well, and that's another agenda of the third wave. And it's extended, of course, and this is where it kind of gets confusing, because you see this line blurred between feminism and social justice warriors and all kinds of minority groups and oppressed groups and things like that. Whatever.
They don't even know the difference.
They want to call themselves. Yeah.
They all have a different.
Well, and so the violence of words.
Right.
And so, you know, you see the sort of self-definition of many terms where they sort of just decide what things mean.
Right.
So, I guess let's talk about if words are... Okay, go ahead.
Well, it's important to note that the feminists, basically the myth that they try to produce, and this has been busted everywhere. No serious survey or study has ever produced the feminist myth that one in four women on college campuses will be raped.
Right. Okay, yeah, back to that statistic.
Right.
Sorry, we decided to jump around because there's so much information.
There's so much.
We can't put it into a... Like,
there's no linear way.
We could have just typed this all out and read it to you in a super boring way, or we could just jump around like crazy and have it be more entertaining. So that's what we decided.
So,
go ahead.
So one of the most popular rape statistic that the feminists and social justice warriors will put out there, they basically will the lie that they propagate is that there is as much rape going on college campuses as there is in war-torn Congo. They will say that one in four women on a college campus will be raped. And the Bureau of Justice Statistics and all serious studies that have been done will give you a number closer to 1 in 40. And so the feminists cite this like it's truth all the time. Conspiracy feminists, they're the forefront of the movement. You can't remove that. And here's the problem. The big problem is not just that it's a lie, but that this kind of mob mentality, this mob justice, doesn't help anyone. Because here's the deal. 1 in 40 women getting raped is terrible.
Right.
And that is a bad enough right. statistic. You do not need to make it worse
right.
to do something right. about this.
1 in 40
is
and
too
then,
many.
Of course, it's underreported. Of course. Even underreported, 1 in 40. Too many. Understand.
Too many.
Get
yes.
it.
Shouldn't be happening.
Yes.
But it's like you're not actually helping that
right.
1 in 40
right.
when you're conflating actual
right.
rape.
And when you say that words are violence against you, you are illegitimizing
actual
people
violence.
Who have had violence done
yes.
to them.
Yes.
And so I don't, this is not the episode for us to discuss rape.
No.
Because I don't think that a 20-minute
no.
show is a place
no.
to talk about something that serious.
No.
But I do, I want to say that Summer and I have the worldview to say that rape
is wrong.
Is absolutely wrong. It is a violation
should
of
never happen.
Someone that is made in God's image, and it is punishable by death.
Yes.
So that is what I believe.
Yes.
1 in 40 is
too
appalling.
Many. Appalling. Appalling. Yes.
It makes me sick to my stomach.
Yes.
I can't stand that statistic.
Right.
And that being said, we also have a worldview for catcalling, which is that it is adultery in the heart and should...
If you're lusting after a woman, it's wrong.
Right, and you should be called to repentance, and you are doing wrong to a woman that you are looking on with lust. And you know what? If you're a woman looking on
a man
with lust, then you are also doing wrong, and I'll call you to repentance right now.
Right.
And so, that being said, adultery in the heart
mm-hmm.
is not rape.
No.
So, biblically.
Right.
So, if you're a Christian.
Yes.
And you would say that catcalling contributes to a rape culture, you're wrong.
Right. And you're not helping the people that are actually
no.
suffering.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Is there anything we even, I mean.
Well, and so the whole reason we bring this up is that so much of the feminist movement is full of this, you can be marked as a supporter of rape, or you can be marked as a racist just by calling
right.
for conversation
right.
Around these things. And it's all a product of this idea that we have to be politically correct. We
right.
have to give people their safe spaces. It's this
right.
kind of like sanctimonious story of our narrative is correct and
right.
we will suppress your dissident view
right.
To the point where catcalling right. has been labeled a hate
right.
crime in places like Birmingham.
Right.
And so this is what gets me. And this is a conversation I have weekly now that we're doing this, is all the good things feminism has done. And it's like, well, look at the product of feminism. Like this is what it's produced. And I'm sorry, there is not a single feminist website that I have come across that has had anything remotely related to a Christian worldview.
Right.
And the reason that is, and I've said it in every episode so far, and I'm going to say it again, is because feminism is not based on a worldview where value for
right.
women is actually derived from a place
right.
that can be valued from.
Look at all the good the Bible has done.
right?
Like, I'm sorry,
this is
but
ridiculous.
That's our standard. We don't need to borrow from somewhere else.
I don't need to borrow
we
from someone
else. We have
the
best standard in the world.
They're borrowing from us.
Right.
Number
we
one.
We don't need to go to second
no.
best. And I'm sorry, but
no.
feminism is far from second best.
Far
it
from
is
second best.
Way, way,
no.
way down there. Not
no.
even on my list.
No, and let's talk about just this last week. I think it was a couple days ago. So there's this big, you know, women's march on Washington that's happening this weekend for the inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit the news. There was this pro-life women's movement that wanted to go to this women's march. And so when the feminists that put this march together found out that this pro-life group was going to come, they said, no, we don't let any anti-choicers come. They uninvited this group from
coming.
Just
know that you're not welcome. If you're a Christian.
If you're a Christian, you are not welcome to our march. That is what they said.
You're not welcome to this thing that supports equality. We're recording audio right now, so you can't see my air quotes. But I'm doing them.
Right.
Equality. And so that's why we have this huge, confusing, super fast paced episode, because the whole foundation of third wave feminism is essentially all this change of language. And we see it everywhere in our society today. It's just this thing that Orwell predicted.
Yes,
where you take a word and you change the meaning of it so that, it serves, like, you can use that word and then it serves also a separate agenda. So I can say that I'm an anti-feminist, and what I mean is I disagree with what you have to say, but what it can say to the world is that
I don't like women.
That I don't like women, I have a passive view of rape or domestic violence, that I'm brainwashed by religion. I think women should not have a choice over their own bodies. Maybe I'm uneducated. The manipulation is real.
Yes.
And I'm not just saying their manipulation is real. They've been manipulated for real.
Yes. 100%, y'all.
Right.
So there's this, and if you look at women's studies today on the campus, there's this dogma that men and women are the same. Like, we're born bisexual, and then society ascribes gender to us, and it's all learned. This is why, if you attempt to study and sift through, it's so hard to understand why is feminism and LGBTQ so closely linked. Well, this is why, because they both propagate this idea that gender is just a social construct. And so when gender is just a social construct, well, it can be whatever you want it to be.
Okay, before you go on, I have to tell you guys that that's absolutely not true. The whole XX thing, that's true. But you're born, if you're from the moment of conception, if you are born a boy, that means that even though when you were conceived, you have XX, you are conceived with all the engineering to have XY eventually.
Yes.
So it's not like you're just neutral and then because you listened to Riot Girl instead of Toby Keith, you turned into a girl.
Right.
Like, that's not what happens.
Right.
That's, you have all the genetic material already there to make you male or female. Right. That's just not true.
Right. And if you look at gender studies in colleges today, they will not even touch the powerful hormonal build difference between men and women. They can't, because the narrative that has to be pushed now is that gender is a social construct. And this is why, I mean, you can go out there and read it. Oh my goodness, it devastates me every time I do. It's not that I support necessarily government education, but what we see happening in government education, because they want to deny that there's a difference in sexes, boys are hurting in schools because the idea now is that the way that girls learn, which is by sitting, reading, these kinds of very non-physical activities, the physical has been demonized because men and the patriarchy, it's all so violent.
Well, because it's not about equality, because they can't make it equal. That's not what's being called for.
It's not.
What's being called for is that everything be masculinized, because like I said, the male is the role model. Women have used, they saw that the man was free, so that was the role model when they went out to find their freedom.
Do what men do.
Right. So actually what it is that females have sought to be men. So society has allowed, has tried to make females into men, but now females are mad that they have been
put in
masculinized. And so now there's like well, but no, maybe you should just make men into us.
Right. This demasculinization, right, and kind of this idea that anything that's necessarily masculine is violent, negative, trying to put women in subjugation.
Right.
If you look at what's happening to literature studies, if you look at a high school required reading list, I can guarantee you almost everything on there caters to the girls in school. We're making young boys try to sit down and understand and love and read Pride and Prejudice because the idea is that this is somehow noble.
Right.
And all the books like Heart of Darkness and Lord of the Flies, they're being taken out of schools because they are masculine.
Right.
Because they celebrate masculinity and this side of humanity that has just been completely demonized. And it's happening all the time. And so, I mean, on average, you know, think about the lie that's been busted so many times, the wage gap.
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness. You can't
even. I'm tired
even,
of people even
I'm
using
so,
it.
It's such a joke.
I'm tired of people using
it. It has been busted
it.
So many times, but no, they won't drop it.
Right.
So,
someone just find a new art. Please, I'm willing to hear anything.
Anything.
Come up with something crazy.
Something.
Just to wow me.
Right. So, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but if you guys don't know, the lie is that women earn 77, I believe, cents on the dollar. That men do. And so the studies that come out with that result, they don't take into account time worked, time
right.
off.
Right.
They don't take into account that women take maternity leaves. And so on average, women are just interested in other things like and that want.
I've even
want-
heard that there were statistics hold from companies where they didn't even take into consideration position.
Right. Like who's like getting
right.
a salary versus hourly.
Right.
Things like that.
So that's how skewed these statistics
They're
can be.
They're so skewed. And so, but the fact that women can be interested in other things, the fact that women don't tend to go to school for mechanical engineering or these
right.
kinds of degrees that will earn more money. We tend to take over things like the arts, which earn less money.
Right.
But the, all of this isn't a part of the feminist equation because they want to deny that femininity and masculinity are a thing and that there's like a disapproval around conventional sexuality and
right.
conventional roles. And so, right, I'm not willing to spend any more time on the wage gap because it's like any serious
it's
person.
It's been debunked so many times
no
that we just can't
serious
even.
Economist, show me one serious economist that supports this.
No,
you just can't.
Yeah.
So anyway,
this has been so, like, just so much, such a
so
hurricane of information.
I know.
That I don't even know what we've said and what we haven't said.
I know. One of the things I want to point out that I think is a brilliant thing that I heard, again, I've been listening to a lot of Camille Paglia, and I know a lot of Christians mm-hmm. will be mad that I even brought her name up because she's
right.
not a Christian. But she is an intellectual who
right.
has been knee deep in this culture, and she's calling for honest conversation. And she has said criticism to the feminists is by definition backlash. And
right.
I'm finding that even as we post our podcasts and the things that people have to say is if you even criticize something that they believe is noble, it's defined as backlash. And look, we're not here to criticize the idea that men and women are equal, but that's not what feminism is. And if you are able
right.
to go look at what's happening in feminism today and say, no, this is what it's about. It's about equality. Then you're not looking.
Right.
And if you're a Christian, again, I've said this every week and I just can't say it enough. If you're a Christian, you don't need feminism.
Right. You don't. You have the best standard.
You have the best standard.
You don't need to look for anything else.
No, you don't. And we're
not. You don't need to defend anything else. You already have a standard that does not even need to be defended.
Right. Right. And so I would like, I mean, there are women who have said, well, you know, I see these things that like my mother wouldn't have been able to do if this
right.
movement hadn't been happening. And I would say, be thankful for the things that have happened that have been good to women. That's fine.
Right.
Feminism has not necessarily been good to women. And
God has redeemed all kinds of
God
things.
God redeems
guys.
All kinds of things. And ultimately, all of anything that good that has happened to women in terms of how culture viewed them could have been derived from the Bible.
Right.
Number one.
Right.
So this Destiny's Child. That's amazing.
Yeah.
90s, yeah, that's wonderful. So was there anything you wanted to bring up about the third wave? I mean, there's just so much here.
It's
I just
it's just a lot, and I It's so much because of all the intersectionalism.
Right.
It's so much to cover in such a short amount of time. And the agenda is just so, it just stacks up so quickly. And it's so based on opinion and it's so subjective mm-hmm. that it could just take, mm-hmm. we could have so many conversations about this.
I know. Oh, absolutely. I was thinking about bringing up, and this is something, it's too vulgar, but I'm thinking about Emma Watson. Uh-huh. She is constantly touted as like the new fresh face for the next wave of feminism. But if you look a few years back, her thing, I think she had a website and it was all about destigmatizing female sexual pleasure.
Right.
That is what feminism has come to. They're looking right. at that and they're saying, I mean, she was invited to go to the UN to talk about feminism because of this.
Right.
That is the level that we've come to. And so I would just really encourage Christians to consider that. And next week when we talk about Christian feminism, which is just so sticky, it's so sticky and it's going to feel a little bit like this to me. It comes from all kinds of different places, but it has permeated the church. Feminism has absolutely permeated the church to the point where I don't even know if we recognize all the places that it has.
Right.
And I would really like to take time to discuss, okay, so we reject feminism. What is our view of women?
Right.
And so that'll be next week's episode.
Right. Yeah, because let's face it, some things, there's some things that feminists say, and there are some sinful things that are just easy to want to believe. They're easy
sure.
to, like, do you guys remember last week when I was like, don't read the feminine mystique. Don't
right.
read it, because a part of you will love it and want
right.
to want to just praise and applaud
it's the worship
everything
of self.
It says.
It's the worship of
right.
yourself.
And
ultimately.
So, like, you know, if you have called yourself a Christian feminist, I get it. I totally get it. And if a part of you, if you go on blogs, if you fall into these patterns of thought, if you are, I am here, woman, hear me roar, you know,
mm-hmm.
there, and you know, there is superficial agreement all over the place. We've already talked about that.
Right.
But it's just such a slippery slope. And also we talked about like getting on the wrong plane. It's the wrong
right.
platform.
It's the wrong platform.
What is the worldview? Do we need a better worldview?
We don't.
Just, we need to be careful around this
mm-hmm.
because it could just appeal a little bit too much, especially as women.
Right.
So that's really what we're going to be talking about next week.
Right.
And I am excited to talk about that.
Right.
I think it'll be the most applicable of all
yes.
these feminism
yes.
episodes that we've
yeah.
done.
Well, let's take a moment and talk about ways that we're masculine. Because would it okay. be Sheologians if we weren't a little tongue-in-cheek?
Right.
I mean...
Of course not.
I can drive stick like nobody's business.
Okay.
And I'm a great shot at about 15 yards.
Okay.
I'll get 9 out of 10 right in the chest.
Like with a gun?
With a gun.
Okay.
My Canadian friend was over once, and she was like, I've never seen a gun in real life. And I was like, let's go shooting.
I've heard that I'm a good shot, but I don't shoot guns enough to really
let's
know.
See. What else do I do that's kind of manly? My favorite snack is beef jerky.
Okay.
I could just eat beef jerky all day long as I sit across from my non-meat eating friend.
I'm not offended.
I don't like Nicholas Sparks. I think okay. that his novels and his movies are trash, and I think that we should do an episode on that. I think that they are kind of a result of feminism, so let's talk about that next month because it's February.
Okay.
What else do I do that's manly? So pretty much, I mean, I take about 10 minutes to get ready, max, except that I have children, so they, you know, scratch.
Right, other than... That.
If you took all the knee scratching out of the equation,
right.
I would be dressed in seriously 5 minutes
right.
and ready to go.
Simple,
whatever.
Low maintenance. Okay.
What about you, Joy?
I think, first of all,
mm-hmm.
my voice.
Oh, I love your radio voice, though.
Well, it's not just my radio voice. It's my real voice, too.
It is. Well, I mean, your voice is good for radio. I've always thought that before
it's pretty,
I knew you.
I've definitely had people think that I'm a man when I answer the phone.
No, they haven't. Stop.
I have had that happen.
Are you serious?
I have a pretty low voice for a female.
No.
That's
annoying. That annoys me.
I like golf.
You like golf?
I do. I like playing golf and I like watching golf.
Are you an accountant? I don't understand what's happening right now. Are you serious?
I like black coffee.
Oh,
that's not really so much masculine as it is like cowboyish,
it's
which I
cowboy.
Feel like is masculine, yeah. Just kind of inherently.
Okay, black coffee, not my thing.
Crying is embarrassing.
Crying is so embarrassing.
I tend to have pretty good spatial reasoning.
Okay.
Which is kind of a guy thing.
Sure.
Oh, gosh.
What?
A good fight scene.
Oh, I love a good fight scene. Daredevil season one.
Takes my breath away.
Yeah. Braveheart's one of my favorite
also,
movies.
Daredevil, like, he says he doesn't kill people, but
he
have you
totally...
heard the sound of some of his punches?
I know. They're really intense.
He kills
intense.
People. He
very
kills
intense.
People.
Some of the best fight scenes I've ever seen.
And then, yeah, chick flicks make me roll my eyes.
I can't stand chick flicks. Right.
They're the worst.
Okay. See, I mostly don't like to cry in front of people because my mascara will run, so I don't know if I get masculine points for that. I don't think that I do, by the way that you're looking at me.
See, I think crying is embarrassing because I'm just kind of an emotional, like, stuffer.
Right.
But that, I feel like, is not masculine. I feel like that's a woman thing. We like
emotional
to stuff
stuffing?
Our emotions
I don't
down.
Know. Women can be so emotional.
I feel like men are just not in touch.
Like,
it just doesn't hit them until some point.
No.
It, like, explodes.
Right. You know, I'm pretty emotionally dumb. People will tell me, this is how you're feeling right now. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, you're right.
You're right, I am.
I didn't know.
I used to be more of, like, a time bomb, emotionally-wise.
Right.
But now I'm just kind of like, we'll just... Push that down. Okay. I'm good.
I'm fine.
I'm all right. Don't you see me smiling?
Man. Okay. Well,
I'm okay, guys. I just...
Right. I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
I'm just as crazy as anyone, which all of you are.
Everyone's crazy. Don't
That's
deny.
Not a rationalization.
No.
You all are. If you're no. saying you're not, you are.
You're a liar.
You are.
Repent.
Repent.
All right, guys. Well, this is the end of our episode. I don't even know how long we record anymore. I'm sorry to all you OCD
We're not too
people.
Bad. I'm looking at our how long our music's okay. been playing. It's not too bad.
Let's throw out a pitch there for Patreon because you guys, Sheologians, will go away without you.
Right. And seriously, if a fraction of you guys gave a small amount of money,
yes,
like $3,
yes,
then Sheologians will keep going.
Throw us in that coffee cup a month range and right. we will continue to
and
show
not even
up.
Like not even like a frappuccino a month, like an iced right. coffee,
an iced coffee,
like what I month. drink,
right,
a black
right
iced coffee,
right. Well, my drink is like $5.67.
That's what I mean.
I don't
like,
get to go
we're not
often.
Even we're not even talking like a fancy drink from
no.
your like hipster coffee place. Like not even a nitro brew.
Right.
We're talking like your basic.
Right.
We're talking like a McDonald's cup of coffee.
Right. So we've done the math and we need like a fifth of you.
Right.
Please consider doing that. Go to patreon.com/sheologians and you can help Sheologians continue to happen. And we will continue to do the work that we are doing. And we love you guys. And we think we have the best fan base ever. And yeah, I don't know. We're releasing our shirts actually today. So if
Same.
You missed your chance to buy a shirt.
I hope you didn't, but some of you did. Just statistically, we...
Statistically, we know. Some of you missed your chance to buy a shirt. So if you did not get your limited edition Sheologians shirt, today is the day. Last time they sold out in 2 days. So run, don't walk. We have 82 shirts available. 82. I know that's a weird number. We do not have 82 of every size. So if you want a shirt, go to sheologians.com and check out the store there and get your shirt. And we'll see you guys next week.
See ya. Ra ra ah ah, Roma Roma ma ga ga, ooh la la, what's your romance?